Thank you. First of all, thank you very much to Philip and Ufuk for inviting me. This is a joint paper with Ufuk and also Michael Peters from Yale University. So in this project, we focus on the firm dynamics differences between developed and developing countries. And we provide a theory and some empirical evidence for a mechanism that that can potentially explain the difference. Let me directly show you the main motivating figure that I will mostly focus on. So this figure from Shinan Klinov, QJ 2014. So here what you see is at the establishment level for three countries, this figure shows the average establishment size in terms of employment for different age bands. So on the x-axis we have different age bands, and you see three countries, US, Mexico, and India. And just to compare these two figures, we basically they normalize the youngest firm size to one for all countries. And what's striking, or what's the takeaway for us from this figure, is basically if you look at the developed countries like US, you will see that there's like a lot of growth in terms of firm size. So for example, if you look at a 25 years old firm, it basically like more than twice as the size of the youngest cohort. But on the other hand, for India, for example, the profile is completely flat, meaning that there is not much growth going on at the firm establishment level. Thank you. So this is for US, and here you see India. And so this data basically gives a cross-sectional figure. If you also look at the life cycle, actually look at the growth, you will see the same pattern. And this kind of pattern is quite robust when you control for industry and other kind of characteristics. So this can be considered like persistent difference between developed and developing countries, at least in the US and India. So in this project, we try to analyze what might be, like we will basically provide a theory which can explain this difference, at least partially. So next I will talk about two empirical evidence which mainly motivates our approach, our specific channel. The first one is related to the nature of entrepreneurship. So there are some recent literature, also some old papers, arguing that there are some ex-ante heterogeneity when it comes to being an entrepreneur, and this is a phenomenon both for developed and developing countries. So here I'm just citing a couple of papers, mostly these are recent ones, but they are basically talking about two different set of entrepreneurs. The first one is what they call subsistence entrepreneurs. These are kind of these are the ones who has no intention to grow or no ability, no technology to grow at all. And most they want to keep their business within the family. So they want to keep it small. But on the other hand, there is this other group which they call transformative entrepreneurs. These are basically the ones create jobs, grow a lot, and it's kind of very beneficial for the overall economy. And these are basically, you can see these kind of entrepreneurs in both developed and developing countries. So this is one thing that we will take as granted, which will be important in our story. The second micro evidence, which we also did some work on, but there are also other papers talking, is basically about the importance of managerial efficiency and its effect on firm dynamics. So there are several papers, including ours, showing that limits to managerial delegation is important, an important factor for firm performance in developing countries. So right now I will just tell you some results, but later I will show you some regressions which are basically consistent with these facts. But what this literature, including our paper, says is these outside managers in developing countries may possibly misappropriate assets due to weak rule of law. And span of control of the owner in developing countries looks like a binding constraint in developing countries. And related to that, the family size of the owner looks like an important predictor, the best predictor of the firm size. And this is specific for India. So these are the certain some empirical evidence. So for our story, the implication here is limits to managerial time, the frictions in managerial delegation basically reduce the competition, which makes which makes these unproductive firms as I referred before, as substance entrepreneurs survive in the economy. So given these empirical facts, in this paper, we first propose a theory which links this managerial delegation issues with the firm dynamics, and which is motivated by this empirical evidence. Then, by using this model, we will try to understand how much of this observed difference between firm dynamics between developed and developing countries can be explained by this specific mechanism. So for the rest of the talk, I first will introduce the model, then I will provide some empirical evidence for the mechanism that is implied by the model. Then later I will also do some quantitative analysis based on the through the lens of the model. So let me jump to the theory part. So here, obviously, we are focusing on firms. And for this, we are basically starting with the model laid out in Klett and Corton 2004. This is basically a firm dynamics model, but it basically takes the Schumpeterian ideas, the creative distraction idea at its center, and the whole firm dynamics in this model basically driven by the creative distraction. And this model will give us nicely this selection and firm dynamics issue related issues that we want to talk about. But then on top of this, we basically want to think about managers delegation. So what we will do is basically we will introduce a possibility of hiring an outside manager within this model. So and this additional piece basically links the delegation or delegation frictions to the firm dynamics and growth incentives. And as I said before, we will use the model for quantitative exercise. So specifically, we will calibrate the model for US and India. Then we will do some counterfactual analysis to tease out how this mechanism might be important.
Yeah. And I think we should change robotic economics. And but they've been questionnaire. I mean, they are very rubbish data. I mean, it's not great data. But it's called BIPs. You know, they had the survey. The World Bank and the EBRD at some moment did surveys. And I think there were better surveys, or there could be better surveys, trying to ask firms, why don't you grow? I mean, it looks very stupid. But I mean, you know, they ask. I mean, is it financial thing? Is it that you lack educated middleman, to monitor? Is it that you, the fact that you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know how much, but I know, for example, if you put, I went from by curiosity to the BIPs questionnaire, I mean, and to look at the kind of question they asked. I never look at the data, but I look at the question. Have you, just by curiosity,
So we didn't look at that specific data, but from this paper, Hirst and Percy 2012. So there is this survey in for US, yeah. Small business dynamic survey, something like that. In that survey, they ask very similar question. They ask, you know, what's the purpose of opening this new business? And you see that actually, I think I remember the ballpark numbers. So actually, like 20% of the new business say, actually, I don't have an intention to grow. So they just say, you know, I opened this business just because I like being a boss of my own. Those kind of considerations, there are other pecuniary benefits. So this is even for you. So for different countries we haven't looked at. But what I think is, if it is in US, then in other countries, most probably that's also, even in developed countries, must be even a more extensive issue.
Can I just make one comment?
Yes, please.
So when you look at the Nick Bloom's QJE paper with David McKinsey, for instance, so they talk about the interviews that they did with the firm owners in India. And the typical arguments for firms in developing countries is typically they lack money, or they lack, you know, they are afraid of regulations if they grow, etc. So that's why Nick and co-authors they go and ask what's the problem that you're facing, and what they report is that first they are not lacking money, and even if they have, you know, ton of money, they don't grow. The second thing is that they also don't necessarily try to avoid the regulations, and when they literally ask why are you not growing, they explicitly report that the lack of trust to outside family members, the non-family members, is the key thing. That's what they report, basically.
Okay. So let me start with the specifics of the model. So we will consider a single consumption good closed economy. In our model, there will be two categories of agents. We will have some production workers, mass one, and they will choose either being a worker or managers. There will be a very simple occupational choice problem there. But then there will be a separate set of entrepreneurs, which basically owns the companies, and they will enter an exogenous rate Z, which is basically, just for simplicity, we also have a version where you can endogenize the entry, which doesn't affect our results, but most importantly, constant with the
motive. You have a modeling, I don't want to interrupt you, but you have a modeling, but that rings a bell for me in a sense. You know, Tyrol had this 1986 model of collusion, so your principal supervisor agent, and the issue there is that you want to avoid that the middleman colludes with the agent. And so you could very well imagine, you have this is the model, that a story that you would have in mind, that's my theory part of myself, where you say, well, you know, collusion problems are such that, in fact, I want to avoid middleman, and because it's very hard to prevent collusion. And as a result, it limits the span of control, and it limits the firm growth. I would merge the kind of thing I've done, you know, the kind of the span of control with this collusion model of Tyrol, and then turn that into.
So the micro story that we're gonna tell is basically very similar to that. Due to the contractual environment, we will think it's very hard to make contract. It's hard to make an efficient contract between the owner and the manager. That's why in developing countries you will not have much incentive to hire manager, but on top of that, in developing countries, the families are bigger, which means you have no contractual problem with your son or with your, so that's kind of the story going on. Yes, exactly. But here we will take a more macro approach and directly calibrate one parameter, which basically encompasses all these effects. But in the paper, you can see a very detailed game theoretical approach. Yes.
So there could be some self-reinforcing forces here. If you look, for example, at the occupational choice of people. So those problems in terms of management delegation problems which make firms not to hire those managers. Those managers can be potentially those who become then subsistence entrepreneurs because of higher unemployment. So then you would have that even bigger forces driving.
I think, yeah, that's a very well point. In this version of the model, we don't have that. We don't have like an occupation choice between like being a manager and entrepreneur. But yeah, I think it's a fair point. And yeah, actually, it's kind of easy to extend model in that regard. Okay, so as I said, we will have two kinds of entrepreneurs. And I will be very specific about how they are different. And for tractability, we will assume that the individual is short-lived. This basically enables us to express the model like analytically fully. So the production, again, there is one consumption good. There is one final good. We have this Cobb-Douglas final good production function. YJT is the one refers to a variety of products which will be produced in a monopolistic competitive market. So in this model, a firm is defined as a collection of product units, the number of varieties they have. So here this graph just gives you an example. For example, here the firm one has 5 different product lines, which is given by these blue lines, and the length of the height of the blue line basically gives you how the level of quality for each product. So the other firm, for example, has only 3 ones, and as you see, firms are basically heterogeneous in terms of number of products, but also in terms of the quality of the product that they produce. So what's different from the usual Kletan-Cort model is that in this model, firms will require some managerial effort. So I will talk more about the source of this managerial effort, but in the production, firms will need some managerial effort, and I am just skipping the actual microstructure, how you can end up with this profit, but maybe, I mean, it's easier for the sake of this presentation just to take this as given, but the profit from a product line J is basically given by, this is a normalized profit, is basically just a concave function of the managerial effort. So, and this is a choice variable which will be determined by the entrepreneur. Okay, now I want to introduce this I want to talk more about this E. This managerial service, this managerial efficiency, can be provided by two sources. First, entrepreneur may have the resource. So in the model, we will calibrate, present the managerial efficiency coming from entrepreneur ST. So the way we want to think about this is, this is basically a fixed supply brought by the entrepreneur itself, and it may represent, for example, the family size. And this will be inelastically provided. But then also the firm, the entrepreneur has the option to hire some outside managers. There's a market, competitive market out there. Firms basically can go and hire some managers. They can delegate the job. So here we will have the psi parameter, which is very important, which will determine the net efficiency of these outside managers. So, and I will talk a lot about this psi. So let's think about the firm who has N products. That means the entrepreneur who has N products need to decide on the efficiency. And let's start with the self-employed firms without an outside manager. Let's say a firm decided not to hire anyone, which, I mean, the problem, I will show the problem of hiring managers next, but just let's first try to understand how this part works. If a firm decides just going with its his or her effort without hiring any outside managers, then given that she has fixed supply of resources, she basically distributed it evenly to the end product lines due to the concavity of the production function. So that means then given that the value function, the value of the firm with end products will be given by this function. So what's important here is you can immediately see that given that T is a constant, there's a decreasing return to scale in this production function. It's a concave production function in N, and we can immediately see this Lucas type span of control idea. Given this fixed factor, you will hit by these diminishing returns as you grow. Okay? So it's just like for a visual presentation, this is the value of the firm with value of the firm, and on the x-axis we have number of products. As you see, as n increases, the value is increasing, but at a decreasing rate. So we have the concavity. Now let's think about a firm who decided to hire a manager. So this is basically the technologies then the firm can benefit. So first, again, I'm thinking about a firm with n product lines. First, this entrepreneur has this total efficiency unit of T. That means T over N will be supplied by the entrepreneur. Then suppose that this firm hires MJ managers for this product line. Then the total efficiency unit for this product line will be given by the sum of these two P's. And as I mentioned before, the psi basically determines the marginal productivity, if you will, of the of each outside manager. Okay. So this is basically our main interest. So again, we are not developing at this stage any micro interpretation of this psi. Obviously, there are some candidates which I will talk more about it, but. The way we want to think about this is a country-specific parameter. This basically affects how efficient the managerial environment, and it can be potentially affected by rule of law and contractual system in the country, or managerial human capital, or the financial development of the country. So at this stage, we don't need to take any stance on this, so we can just take this as a country-specific parameter and move on, and later we will try to decompose. But this is the main parameter of interest. So given the structure, then if a firm decides to hire a manager, then the firm will basically solve this problem, maximizing total profit by choosing the number of managers for each product line. And this is a very simple solution. So this problem dictates a threshold firm size and star given by this expression, under which firm hires no manager. So this is the extensive margin of hiring. If the firm size is smaller than this critical size, firm hire no outside managers. If the firm size is higher than this n star, then this equation basically gives the number of managers. Okay. So two things. First, if firm is small, then it's less likely that it hires a manager. Then, let's say the firm starts hiring a manager, then these two parameters, this critical parameter I mentioned before, psi, which determines the efficiency, basically implies that, firstly, the given everything else constant, it basically increases the number of managers, but importantly also decreases the cutoff level. So higher the efficiency of managerial environment, lower the cutoff, meaning that even smaller firms start to delegate. Also, each firm start to hire even more managers. And also, I want to also mention our parameter T, which is the family size, if you will. If the family size is higher, the threshold is higher, meaning that if in a country like India, if the entrepreneur is a big family, it will start way later to delegate. And also, whenever it delegates, actually, this firm will not delegate, we will not hire many outside managers. So I will come to that, this comparative statistics later. So let me just sum up this part. We said if firm does not delegate, then the production function is concave. But if firms start delegating, then this structure implies that you can see from here the production function, the value function is linear in A. So let me just show this graphically. So this is again the value function when there is no delegation. But then we said there is a threshold n star above which the firm starts delegating. So what happens is the value function becomes concave until n star, then it becomes linear. But now let's think about how the psi affects. Remember, as psi increases, as the managerial environment becomes more efficient, this cutoff decreases. What happens is this cutoff basically shifts to the left. And now we have a smaller portion of the value function being concave, but then the value function becomes even steeper given this higher psi. So here this delegation, the efficiency of delegation is very important to fight decreasing returns. It makes the value function even steeper. And if you think about, so obviously the slope of the value function is very important for innovation and growth incentives, which will be more clear when I introduce how firm decides on how much to grow. But the thing is, since a better managerial environment gives us a more steeper value function, the firms in a more efficient managerial environment will more likely to grow. Will they have more incentive to grow?
Okay. If you look at something like a trend, I completely buy the story, but if you look at a trend in the US, you know, over the past US and developed countries over the past 30 years, we've seen a flattening of organizations. ICT has played a role, obviously, but we've seen a move towards flatter, the machine, the big various books and papers and evidence on flattening. Is it clear? I mean, if you look, is it clear that you have more middlemen in more developed countries than in less developed countries? For example, contremaître, as we say, contremaître, monitors, whatever. Do you? Is it true that that somehow you have less of them? Have you looked at direct evidence of importance of middleman in various, and whether this trend was more pronounced in US, for example, than in Mexico or in Canada?
So obviously we look at the managers. I'm not exactly sure when you refer to middleman.
Middleman, those are you could say white collars, for example. When you say those who monitor other people,
Oh yeah. So in that sense, okay. So this is in our model. Obviously, there are managers, and in data also we see managers. So actually, I think it must be in the appendix. There is a clear negative relationship between being a developed and the share of managers in the economy. So for US, the share of managers in the employment is way higher than the one that India has. And the managers basically in the...
France and Britain, and we documented and we looked at with Darren actually, and we saw there is evidence, or you move more towards profit centers and less, or there is U form and form. You know, there is all these measures of the extent to which you get rid or not of is. Do you have a sense if someone asks you, look, in the US, it's very clear that you've gone, or US, or UK, or France, you've gone towards eliminating the middle guys, okay? Is it the case to a similar extent? Because you could say they're much cheaper. You may have problem with it, but maybe they're much cheaper in India or in whatever. And so that would tend to go against Is there anything on this that you would have looked at or whatever?
No, like for developing countries, unfortunately, I'm not aware of any specific data exactly on that. But within, like, for this project, I guess
the direct evidence on span. You know, we know the span has increased a lot. Has it increased the trends or the is it something? It's a sighting. I'm not at all. I love that paper and I buy that story completely. But you just excite my curiosity.
Yeah. So I believe there are some questions about how good the management is, but I'm not sure if they are related to exactly the span of control.
Layers the way that, say, Lucas and Rossi Hansberg and those guys do. It's only one layer of managers, just with different product lines, correct? So that's like a slightly different measure of organizational structure, right?
So this is direct. So there is one thing I believe it might be relevant, which I will show soon, that we look at some cross-state India data on trust. So trust is something which we think kind of related to Sai, and I think that's relevant, which I will talk more. Okay. No, this is the firms can hire as much as managers they want.
As a manager.
Yeah.
So it increases the number of
clients. Yes. So even for one product line, they can hire more than one.
Okay.
So if obviously if they more they have more they can. Yes, it doesn't matter. Everything. The thing is, all product lines are symmetric. So in principle, you can hire more than one managers for one product line. If you have five, actually, you basically decide for each of them separately. Okay. So this part was more like the static part of the model. Now we will more focus on the dynamic parts. So this is basically, this part will concern the how the firms grow and how to enter and exit. So again, as I mentioned before, this is a creative distraction model. So here the firms grow or shrink through a creative distraction process. So firms grow by stealing products from other firms. They will shrink if other firms basically do innovation and steal products from the firm. And they will exit if they lose all their products. So this is the kind of life cycle that the firm experience. And just to give you the specifics, just to make like the representation simple, we will basically assume that there is a measure of entrance available, and each entrant draws a type before they enter with alpha probability. They draw this theta h with my minus alpha. So H refers to high type, L refers to low type, and this theta H will refer to transformative entrepreneur, and theta L refer to substance entrepreneur. And why they are important? Actually, it's given by this function. So when a firm enters, basically one of the firm's decision is also to decide the innovation intensity, which is given by X. And the cost function, we assume this kind of cost function for innovation is so in order to get an X flow rate of innovation, the firm needs to spend on R amounts of final good. And here this N is just the size of the firm, basically just to normalize, make the things stationary. It's kind of the externality coming from the knowledge stock. But what's important here that I want to emphasize is how the theta enters. So here the interpretation of these different thetas and like being a transformative entrepreneur, substance entrepreneur is that if you're a transformative entrepreneur, you're basically more actually, I'm sorry, this is not cost function, this is a production function. This says higher the theta, your production function is more efficient. So here, transformative entrepreneurs had this ex-ante advantage in growing and innovating. On the other hand, substance entrepreneurs doesn't have that much. And we just set theta equal to zero for simplicity, but I should also say this is kind of also consistent with this exact interpretation of substance entrepreneurs who doesn't want to grow at all. So this is basically implies that they have no technology to grow. So they just enter into economy and they stay with only one product, and if they subject to creative distraction, then they just exit. Yes.
So N is the number of
product lines.
Product.
Yes. M is the number of managers. Sorry. N is the firm size.
The size is just the number of products.
So yeah, so in this model, quality basically, like, given our, you know, microstructure in the static part of the model, quality doesn't enter anywhere. It's just enough to keep track of the number of product lines, which determines the firm size. So just to give you a sense of how the life cycle works, let's look at this firm F with four products at different quality levels. If the firm becomes successful in innovating, then it will add a new product line. But while doing that, it will basically increase the quality of this product line, existing product line by lambda. So this is how the quality increases in the economy through creative distraction, which produce a positive growth. So given the structure, now the firm, given all those value functions that I showed you, now the firm can choose the level of innovation, basically just solving this problem. And just this problem, again, very simple, and this is the solution to X. So what's important here, as you see, this is basically the slope of the value function. Higher the slope, higher the innovation incentive. So again, this goes back to this figure. If you start from this value function, but for some reason, if your side, the efficiency of management increases, then your slope will be higher. That means in that economy also firms want to grow faster, they will innovate faster, okay? So this is basically the overview of the model. So the model has certain predictions that we want to also check with the data. So we have data for an establishment level data for India, and especially in order to see if this the prediction of half psi affect the model. So we basically use some variation in trust level across states of India. So next, what I'm going to show you, basically some regressions, established level regressions, which are all consistent with the model predictions. So let me start with the implications, a regression which basically relates the decision of hiring a manager. So for this regression, the dependent variable is a dummy variable, 0 or 1. It's 1 if the firm or establishment has at least one manager. So 0 is if it doesn't hire any manager. So this is like an extensive margin. So as you can see, the regression says the higher, bigger the firm in terms of employment, higher the probability of hiring manager. Also, as the size of the family increases, this is basically the household size of the owner of the firm. As the household size increases, the probability of hiring manager decreases. Also, we have cross state level trust measures for India. So the way we want to think about the trust is basically it's correlated with our parameter size. So this is, I think. Yes.
And, you know, we looked at that, or the, you know, removing the license rage, or
some work I've done with Ilbotti and Redding and Burgess, we looked at the differential effects that this would have in different parts of India that have different labor market regulations. But I was just wondering, you know, whether one could not look and say, you know, you have these kind of shocks to liberalization. And whenever you have less, you see, I mean, wherever you have things like trust that prevent good firms to grow more,
yes,
the entry enhancing effect of these measures would be less, or something like this one.
Yes.
I wonder that, in fact, I think that would be good, future work would be better.
No, that sounds interesting.
The young York thing with our thing, you see what I mean? And look at these kind of things. That,
yeah.
That would be very exciting. Would you take it in this direction?
Yes, I think, yeah, very super interesting.
So we can start a new paper.
Yep. Thank you. Yeah.
Yes. So in the model, basically, you have that E, your effort,
yes,
depends linearly. It's basically sum of your T plus the Xi, right?
Yes, some number of managers times Xi.
This Xi hides not only trust and delegation,
exactly,
but also quality. So
that's true.
So how can you say that it's trust?
So no, that's a fair point. So the way we model size such that it includes possibly human capital, all those things, but at the firm level, you don't have this kind of measure. So what we think is at least trust is correlated. It's not the all determinant of size, but still trust should be correlated with size. So that's why since that's the available measure, we use that. So here we think trust is correlated with psi, and this regression says if trust is higher in the region where this firm is located, the probability of hiring managers is higher. So these are all consistent, this regression, all these relations are consistent with the model predictions. Let me show you another regression which relates the firm size to some variables. So this regression, based on this regression, again, the average firm size is positively correlated with the household size, which is again constant with the model. But if you look at the interaction between trust and household size, it's negative. And when you think about this, this says basically family size, bigger the firms, but household size, family size, and the firm size is less correlated in high trust regions. So this is again something consistent with our model predictions, and I think that's. What's that? Yes, because these all have some state fixed effects. So this one, I guess, there are other controls that I'm not showing, but we are basically controlling the firm age, all other sorts of possible heterogeneities. That's why R square is also like really high.
Labor market regulations that differ across states.
Yes,
that could be already a control that takes into account source. Right?
Yeah,
that
deliver-
can be something else.
Yeah,
it can
yeah.
Be unions or can be.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. Yeah. So okay, let me now directly jump to this. So I don't have much time. So I will directly show you some quantitative results. So what we do basically, we take this model, we estimate the model, we calibrate the model for US and India. So this is just a summary. And like these are the moments that we target. This is the data and this is the model. So we basically did a good job, I believe. And what's here, I just want to emphasize is for US, the delegation benefit, the psi, has a value something just above 0.7, okay? On the other hand, if you do the same estimation for India, this very same value is 0.60. So what we find is for India, the psi parameter is smaller, meaning that for India, the efficiency of managerial environment is small. So since I don't have much time, I will not talk much about how we identify this, but again, here, the important moment that you need to consider is the the share of managers in the employment. This is basically the main moment which informs this parameter. So again, a couple of figures just to show you how we are doing matching the data. So this is the, so if you remember the very first figure that I showed you at the beginning of the presentation, we have the same figures for US and India. Again, we have some age bands here, and this is the average employment average employment, which is normalized to one for the youngest group. As you see, like the red one is the model, the blue one is the data. We are having a very good match. This is for US, as you see, steep, but for India, this is flat, as I showed you before. But so this is something that we haven't targeted, but it shows us how the selection, how serious the difference in selection in this for these two economies. So here what you see is, again, for different age groups, the share of small firms. So here the small firm in the model is one product firm, and in data, we basically take the corresponding size. So what you see is for India, as you look at older and older firms, actually the share of small firms basically barely decreases. Okay, so they continue to stay small, and they basically constitute a big part of the economy. On the other hand, you basically see a serious decrease in the number of small firms for years. So this is one way of looking at the selection. And another way of basically, which you cannot look at the data, but since in the model we have, you can look at the share of high type firms. So in the model, remember, low type firms, they have no incentive to grow. They do not contribute to productivity or anything. It's all high types. So for US, the share, basically, if you look at the entrance, the share starts around 60%, but then around 20 years, basically, the whole economy consists of the cohort which starts here, basically, in 20 years, that all consists of high types. On the other hand, for India, their starting value is lower. That's what we estimate. But also, it takes a lot of time to have these high types to take the economy over. You may say, maybe this is just because you are starting this for India from low value. You can do this comparative static where this is a counterfactual US economy where alpha is equal to the value of India. So this basically says even the starting value share of high types was small in US, it will take just 25 years to get rid of all those low types. Okay? And this is now I'm gonna just show you the main result. So this is what we are interested in. So we estimate the model, we get some numbers. So now we wanna ask, how would the US life cycle look like if US has India side. If US had the same efficiency that India has. So, and I want to just show you the life cycle implications. So here I am reproducing the life cycle of US and India, okay? And this blue line is basically the counterfactual US, where the psi is equal to that of India. So if you look at the difference, depending on which age bin you want to look at, just these differences in psi can explain 30 to 40% of the difference in life cycle. Okay. So this is the main result, but there are obviously several things that we did to convince you even more why this psi is important. So I will just tell you, like, two exercises here. So you may think, so the question is, do we really need these different psi values for India and US? So one exercise, so obviously you can have all these different theories, you can, which potentially affect this life cycle differences. So what we want to do here is take any theory, as long as it works through the firm size distribution, We will here show that, or at least suggest that, that cannot be the full story. So how are we going to do this? So we basically, so think about the following counterfactual. We will keep this delegation parameter constant at the US level, which is what we estimate. But then we will recalibrate these four parameters. So you may not remember what they are, but what's important is these are the parameters which calibrates the firm size distribution. Okay, these four parameters to match the Indian life cycle firm dynamics. So what we are doing here is then we are basically having the same efficiency that we observe in the US for India, but we have the Indian firm life cycle. Okay, so as if you consider the story which affects only. If you look at this counterfactual economy, what you're going to see is there's a huge increase in the number of managers. So actually I haven't mentioned this before, but for in India, the manager share is only around 1.5%. On the other hand, in the US, it's around 12%. So this exercise says if you had this thing, meaning if you have the same psi parameters for US and India, then you should end up with a 13% managerial employment share for India, which is very counterfactual. So this is like one kind of robustness check we did, which says you need a different size. So we have other exercises which shows how the different margins of the model affects the life cycle. Again, you will see that actually it's not enough. Just to play with, just to focus on different mechanism, you still need a different side, different managerial environment. Okay. So for the rest of, since I don't have time, so what we did basically, we tried to decompose the psi into human capital, rule of law, and financial development effect. And what I can tell you is, basically, human capital basically explains. Around 50% of the life cycle difference between US and India. The rule of law difference explains around 40%, and the rest is explained can be explained by the financial development. So let me just conclude. So in this paper, we are providing a new theory of firm dynamics, which focusing on selection and the frictions in the managerial delegation. The theoretical mechanism basically provides some new insights. Our quantitative results show that this managerial delegation margin is quantitatively important in explaining the cross-country life cycle of the firms. And human capital and rule of law seems quite important explaining these differences.